Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We have plenty of Browns talk on the docket for you guys as well. Looking at schedule, a day away. We're going to talk about that a lot tomorrow. We'll touch on it today. Touch on rookie minicamp as well and some storylines that came out. And surrounding the quarterback position. Guardians also in action. Take it on the Brewers. It's a packed day. We're going to have some fun. Jake Vomick with you guys here from 7 to 11 tonight on overtime. We got Michael Bohm running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020. He's doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us tonight. Before the Cavs tip off, I do want to talk a little bit of Cavs. And of course, as always, we're going to react to the Cavs when they're all said and done. Probably somewhere near 10 o'clock. You're going to want to make sure you're back here. We'll have the reactions, win or lose. We'll be talking them from when they end to the end of the show. So you got plenty of time. Tune in, but make sure you're here right after the game ends to catch instant reaction and get your reactions off as well. Tonight, I don't need to explain to you that it's a must win. We all know that it's 3-1. It's your season legitimately on the line. As much as I felt like it was your season on the line in game four, it's actually on the line tonight. You lose, you're done, you go home. The Cavs need to look like the desperate team. You can't just win by looking like a team who goes out there and performs well or even just outperforms the Pacers. You need to look desperate. You need to look like your season's on the line tonight. That's bottom line if you're a Cavs fan. And you're the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. The only real option that you get to is for the Cavs to be 100% all in and playing like they did, quite honestly, in game 2 and 3. I thought that they were clearly looking like the more desperate team in game 2 up until, the final minute, even if you want to go as far as the fourth quarter. But that was really where the game fell apart. They need to be desperate tonight. Downright fighting for their lives desperate. Breaking out all the stops, running up and down the floor. You can't roll over. They talk about, hey, it's 3-1. We know what comes with this. We have to be the absolute, legitimately the best. We have to be perfect from here on out. We know what this entails. We know what kind of stress this puts forward and what we have to do to accomplish it. Well, okay, come out and show it on the court. Actually go display, you know what this takes. I need to see that level of desperation. Not a team that's hungry, but a team that has to have it. And I'm expecting to see that tonight. I expect the Cavs to take down a game 5 in front of the home floor. I think you at least get this thing to go 6. I think all the pressure rides on the Cavs' shoulders tonight, and you get to alleviate a lot of that if you at least force it into Indy. It's obviously still a must win. It's obviously still a lot of pressure on you to keep the thing going and have to win that game. You've won a game in Indy before. Game 6 will be a true test. But you got to come out and show the absolute top tier of Cavs basketball tonight. You have to look like yourselves, and you have to look like you're going to and set fully on shutting the Pacers down and not allowing anything to happen. I don't want to hear tired. I don't want to hear burned out. I don't want to hear injured. Tonight's the night. Game 5, you play at your top or you don't play at all. Cavs have to be able to put that on display. And if not, it's going to be a long offseason where I can already tell you the conversations. I told you yesterday, you don't trade the core 4, but I know for a fact you'll be spending an offseason having that conversation repeatedly about this Cavs team and whether or not you need to move off of one of these guys if they lose tonight. Because you get to the same spot that you were at last year. I don't want to go through those conversations. I'm hoping you don't want to go through those conversations. So let's hopefully watch a Game 5 win tonight. Again, we'll react to Cavs as soon as they're done, probably coming up somewhere near 10 o'clock. I do want to talk a little Browns with you guys, though. Because I think that as we go out and we look right now where the Browns stand, following a rookie minicamp, we've seen a lot of things. We've heard from all of the quarterbacks. I think that it continues to get interesting when we talk about really the depth chart and where we stand on it. And where we stand on it versus where fans stand on it. Or excuse me, where the Browns stand on it. We are the fans. That's us. By the way, 92.3 The Fan, you're listening here. But, you know, we are the fans. We, I feel like, have a different set of, in order to our depth chart than where the Browns are at right now. Because for me personally, I'm looking at a depth chart where what do I want to see out of the Browns this year? Not what wins you the most games, but what I think is actually the proper way to go about building your quarterback depth chart. Well, that starts for me probably in a spot where I go Shedeur Sanders week one. And if I don't go Shedeur Sanders week one, I'm turning it to Kenny Pickett with the understanding that yeah, you're looking at about four games, maybe six. You're not getting much farther than that. But that's it. I want to turn it over to Shedeur early on in the season, right? And we talked about the reports yesterday, Zach Jackson saying that it was a lead for Shedeur Sanders right now over Dylan Gabriel, and things flying back and forth the other way. Daryl said slight edge to Gabriel. Scott Petrak, slight edge to Shedeur Sanders. I feel as though when we get into the season, there is a higher chance than not the way that the Browns operate and the way that they know they're going to at least want to try to make the fan happy to begin the year. Give a sense of hope. And that the Browns are actually going out and competing the way that everybody says the Browns are going out and competing. And I think I look at that as yeah, it's probably Joe Flacco. It's probably Kenny Pickett. One of those two guys. Whichever one probably ends up making the roster, because I don't imagine that you're going out and trading away one of the two rookies. So it's probably just one guy or the other. In terms of the two veterans on your roster right now. But I almost wonder right now, if you're looking at the quarterback spot, who truly has the best chance to go out and start in a week one? Right? Because we've talked about and broken down the way that this room looks and who's the odd man out. But when we talk about who has the actual best chance to go start week one, it's really pretty far up in the air. I mean, I know that one of the major betting books put this out as a market in basically every state except for Ohio, which was really interesting. But who starts week one for the Browns? Right? And they had gone through, and I think the favorite was actually Kenny Pickett, if I'm not mistaken. And then it was Shedeur, then Dylan Gabriel, and on the long shot odd, it was Joe Flacco, like some ridiculous over plus 1,000 to be the week one starter. And I just don't know that, like, if I look up and down this roster right now, Joe's the one that I paint is the odd guy when we're talking week one, the guy who has the least amount of chance. Because I think if he makes the roster, there's a good shot you're probably looking at him week one. If they don't find a way to trade away Joe and give him to somebody else, be like, well, you know, we got an offer, didn't really feel like it was worth it to refuse, so we went and made the trade and got this down to three and acquired somebody back for one of the quarterbacks we had in the room. But ultimately, I think when you get Joe onto the team, the way that fans have reacted and the way that fans have wanted him to be here, as we've talked about so many times, it's very difficult immediately to not let the fans see what Joe has. So I wouldn't put him at the fourth longest odds as starting quarterback. I think that there's probably a decent shot that looking at both him and Kenny Pickett, either of them could be traded for draft assets if the Browns really wanted to move on from one. And it's not going to be great draft assets. I mean, you're talking probably like sixth round pick, something in that range. But yeah, there's a very low chance I think that both those guys make the roster, and you're not looking at one of them as the week one starter. But what's best for the Browns when you're looking at the rookie quarterbacks, again, this is a year where you have to evaluate. You have to go through and determine what you have in front of you. To me, the best way to do that is just turn it to the rookies to start. Do I like starting Shedeur week one? I personally don't. I'd love him to be there. I'd love if it worked out for him to be there. I also don't want to just throw him to the wolves week one and basically have him shoved out the door as fast as possible because he doesn't succeed. But you do have to turn to the rookies. You do. At some point, you have to turn it over to them. And I don't think the Browns are completely oblivious to that fact. I think they know that when they look at this year, the way that they've approached the draft, the way that they've talked about this offseason and the regime in place and how they're probably not on a one-year operating window, I find it incredibly hard to believe that they're not going to understand. You're going to want to evaluate the two quarterbacks you just drafted so you can have a good idea whether or not you want to draft one again in 2026. It's the thing that makes the most sense. You have to turn it over early. But I almost wonder that in the eyes of the Browns then, if you understand that fact, could it not just be incredibly possible that Shedeur Sanders ends up with the best possible odds to be your week one starter? Because you can continue to delay it and continue to not make it reality, but at some point you're turning it over to one of the rookies and you have to come to that conclusion. Is it not just going to be the early on conclusion that, well, Kenny's probably not the guy, so let's just give it to Shedeur. Let's see what happens. It was a fifth-round pick, and the risk to reward has to be pretty darn low. You got Shedeur for a fifth-round pick. If it works and he is absolutely lighting the NFL on fire, you've hit an absolute gold mine. If it fails and crumbles into the ground, well, you were the one team that was willing to take a shot on him. And it didn't work out, and you still have Dylan Gabriel, and you still have Kenny Pickett, and likely probably have a desire to go draft a quarterback next year. Why not figure that out earlier than later? 216-474-0092. You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. We can get to our social media reactions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Does Shedeur Sanders have the best chance on the Browns to go through and start in week one as well? I just think as you compare a fan's depth chart to the Browns' depth chart, probably slightly different. A lot coming up for you guys tonight. I told you when the Cavs are all wrapped up, probably somewhere near the 10 o'clock mark, we're going to talk Cavs and react to Game 5, win or lose. We'll also get to the Station Buzz coming up at 7:40. Get a grip at 9. We'll probably talk to Michael around 9:40 for Change Your Mind as well. Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, going to be talking to us at 8 o'clock, helping break down Browns rookie minicamp and so much more beyond that and what's forward. This quarterback class, what we're looking at for the Browns, and really just everything surrounding them with the schedule. A day away from the all-beloved schedule game that we'll get live and react to here on tomorrow's show. But right now, 216-474-0092. Does Shedeur bring the Browns the best chance to start the season? And we'll talk about depth charts. We'll get to your calls and more. Come up here in 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime until 11 tonight on The Fan. Does Shedeur bring the Browns the best chance to start this season? I would honestly and entirely say yes. Like, I'm looking at it. Again, we're going to talk about depth charts and how I think the Browns differ from where I actually stand and where I think a lot of you guys stand as well. Because Ken Anthony brought this up earlier. I thought it was really interesting. But I think that, truthfully, if you're looking for the best chance to find success this year, right? Let's put aside the what do you want to do in 2026 conversation, but entirely, if you want to find success this year, what brings you the highest ceiling to finding that?
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I do think that you're probably looking at Shedeur Sanders. I mean, a lot of us will point to Joe Flacco and be like, that's the most experienced quarterback. He's won games here before. He knows the system. Sure. I think Joe's probably second on that list. But let's just be realistic when we talk about it. If we're going, what does the Browns, the actual best they is for the team, what leaves you with the most possible wins at the end of the season? I truthfully do think starting Shedeur leaves you in that spot, right? We have obviously everything that went down on draft night, which a lot of it just clearly not attached, as we've talked about a million times and it's been circulated nationally. So much of that not attached to him as the quarterback. But ultimately, your difference here is if I'm going to start a guy and I'm going to start him for the entirety of the season, the full year, Joe Flacco caps me out at, I don't know, 8 wins, 10 wins, maybe. If you're being really generous, but realistically, I think probably 8 wins is about a good spot to find. You're right around 500, and I think that's right about where Joe puts you. The upside, if you go through and look at it, is Shedeur Sanders gives you more on the high end than a simple 8 wins. Now, your chances and the realistic possibility of hitting that high end are completely up in the air. It's an unknown. I don't even want to say it's a low chance because I don't know what Shedeur has. If you'd have told me the chances that Jaden Daniels leads the Commanders to an NFC championship last year, or an NFC championship game, I should say, I would have told you, yeah, just about next to none. You're getting about a 0.5% chance that it happens. Well, he hit the 0.5% chance because it's a rookie. And the way that he played, it was no wonder they got to the NFC Championship game. But it's obviously a different story for Shedeur coming as a fifth-round pick. But the talent is somewhere near second-round quarterback, I think is a fair place to play, for him to land in the talent pool of things. When we go where he was drafted, where some people had him, where other people had him, I would say second round is somewhere in that pretty middle ground. And even if he's a second-round quarterback, okay. He still gives you the best chance to win out of the guys on this roster. He does. You go through and you look at who's here. Okay, Joe's upside, I told you. The very highest is 10, but I think more realistically, probably at 8. I don't think that a 40-year-old quarterback's getting you much farther than 8 wins. Kenny Pickett probably puts you near that number. I'd be willing to bet below. And when you compare the two rookie quarterbacks and you say, who gives me the absolute best chance to go through and win a game, you know, game in and game out, sure, Dylan Gabriel might protect the football. I think Dylan Gabriel is going to also create less opportunity. I think that also puts you somewhere near, even on the high end, an 8-win season with Dylan Gabriel as your quarterback. He's the type of guy that you expect, if he's going to be sort of this career backup, which is about what you're looking at for your high hopes if you're drafted in the third round as a QB. But if you expect him to be more towards this career backup type archetype, I think you probably cap out somewhere near eight, and it, you know, times it perfectly. Kevin on X saying, why not start Gabriel? I just don't think that Gabriel elevates the play of other players. And at some point, I would like to see him because maybe, you know, I have the wrong read on things. Maybe he does have the potential that in this offense, he just looks really good and he is, you know, a Kirk Cousins type archetype. Or even, you know, one of the other quarterbacks that we found success with, maybe he fits into the Kevin Stefanski system so well that all he has to do is go out and protect the football and deliver the ball on time, and that gets you to where you need to be. But from how I see it right now with Dylan Gabriel, I don't think he's a quarterback that elevates the play of the players around him. I don't think he's going to make, in the NFL, a ton of players better than they actually are. And I think that's something that, while it's certainly no guarantee with Shador, I think it's on the table that that could be something that Shador possesses. Something to make the guys around him better. An it factor. It's not saying don't go start Gabriel, but it's saying it's more of a second, like, afterthought for me. I'm imagining the way that Dylan Gabriel is going to play, and maybe you feel that he is more ready at the moment, but if that's the case, I'm still not getting out of the season playing Shador, and I think he does give you the better chance. Also, on X, Jason says, trade Joe for a fifth to New Orleans so he can start over Shug and start Pickett week one and let the rookies battle weekly. We said we were going to go young at quarterback in the QB room this year. I think that's a great scenario if it actually worked out. I just think that the Saints are in complete rebuild mode. They just added a quarterback today. Some dude that I've quite literally never heard of. I think he went to Iowa Western I was looking at, playing for Iowa Western, which I was in the back talking to Anthony Lant, and he mentioned their name, and I completely already let it slip my mind. That tells you everything you need to know about Iowa Western. But, like, that's your fourth quarterback in the room this year. Probably just a camp arm. Does he make it to the preseason? Does he see the field in the preseason? Probably not. And even if he does, he's not going to make it much farther than that, more than likely. But you have four quarterbacks in the room. And they already said they're looking at a quarterback competition between Shug, Haener, and Rattler. They're looking for guys to go through and one of them to emerge as the starter, likely to be Shug. But they're in full rebuild mode. They don't need to go trade for a veteran quarterback to make them competitive right now. They need to actually probably just rip the roots out of that team and try to rebuild it entirely through the draft, which is probably closer to what they're actually thinking about doing right now. So I don't think they're going to be in the market for a guy like Joe Flacco. But I like where the head's at. I like where we're going with it. I don't know where the Browns go through. And truthfully, where I think the difference is here, where the fans' depth chart's going to struggle to align with the Browns' depth chart, and where Ken and Anthony had sort of chimed in this morning. Like, I'm looking at the rookie class and going, I know exactly what needs to happen here. And the real question that needs to be answered in 2025 is not, can the Browns win football games? Because the short answer to that one's going to be not enough. It's going to be, do you have a quarterback of the future? Do you need to go and try to find your franchise guy next year? Which immediately takes me and goes, I want to see Shador Sanders week one. Or I want to see Shador Sanders by week five. I'd like to see Dylan Gabriel. And if you really believe, if the Browns are telling me they truthfully believe that Kenny Pickett can be a starting quarterback in the NFL and lead you to a point where, you know, a couple of years down the line, you're competing for a Super Bowl, then I'll see Kenny Pickett too. If you look at Kenny Pickett and say there's no chance he's getting you there, don't need to see him. There's no point. Keep him as a backup. If you feel that he's a great quarterback, keep him as a backup. If you look at him and say, I don't think anything we can do with this kid is going to lead us to a Super Bowl, don't need to see him this year. It's part of looking at rookies and just assessing what is, truthfully, the unknown. The unknown provides at least something. None of us have seen Dylan Gabriel play an NFL snap, and none of us have seen Shador Sanders. You know what that leaves on the table? that leaves the potential for one of these guys to be a franchise-level quarterback and the potential to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL next year. Might be a low chance, but hey, damn it, it's a chance. And I don't think you have that same luxury and that same reality for a guy like Kenny Pickett. So yeah, realistically, as I'm going in and knowing what I want to assess for the Browns in 2025, it comes down to, all right, Shedeur Sanders is probably number one on my depth chart. I'll probably toss Dylan Gabriel at two. And I'll probably go through and toss Kenny Pickett at three. I don't think that's the way that the Browns operate. I don't think you bring two veteran quarterbacks into the room with just no intention of being like, well, we're going to go to the rookies anyway. You clearly went out and acquired a couple of guys for a reason. And I don't think the reason that you go and you get Joe Flacco is that so he can mentor the quarterbacks that are there that you end up drafting. I think from having Joe in the room, the way that we've heard Joe talk about the idea of being a mentor, you don't go out and get him for that reason. I don't think they foresaw themselves drafting two quarterbacks, and I think it changed their plans a little bit. But I think reality for the Browns probably goes something with Joe Flacco at number one, Kenny Pickett at two, and then some combination of Shedeur and Dylan Gabriel, 3-4. If I had to give one the edge right now, I'd probably say talent probably wins out. It's probably Shedeur 3, Gabriel 4. And I expect you to cut it down to 3, but if we're talking depth charts, if we're talking one of these guys going out and actually winning the job, I think that they're going to do the thing that a lot of rebuilding teams do, which is, oh, we'll start the year with a veteran and we'll let one of these rookies, you know, get up to speed, see the game from the sideline, and then start to take over. The only issue I really have with it is the Browns are in a unique situation. Right? They're in a situation where I have two rookie quarterbacks, and it's not just that I have two, I would like to see two. I'd like to see what I have out of both of them. You are in a one-year evaluation of the quarterback position. Now, that can turn into a multi-year evaluation, but I have to see something from the rookies to prove to me that should be a multi-year evaluation. If I don't see anything on the field from Shedeur Sanders, I don't see anything from Dylan Gabriel, and none of them touched a start, I'm going and drafting a guy in the first round anyway. Just what other option do I have? They weren't good enough to get on the field this year and beat out Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, at least even in the world of potential in the ceiling. Well, then Ed, just go get me an actual starter this year. But that's why I need to see it. That's the exact reason that I need to see both of them play. So I don't know that you have the same luxury of going and saying, yeah, just give me the veteran. Right? Start the year with the veteran. Because unless your leash with him is sitting around that four-game mark, and then you're saying, all right, we're turning over the rookies, which isn't going to make a ton of sense. It's not going to convince a lot of people to see your starter go four games and say, and you pull the plug. Especially considering, you know, we'll see what the first 4 weeks of the season look like. If you end up pulling a tough draw in those first four games, it's going to be a lot harder of convincing and trying to get them to, if Joe Flacco struggles against two divisional opponents and then, you know, two decent teams elsewhere in the NFL, it's going to be like, okay, well, now we're going to evaluate Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel on, you know, their play against a lesser opponent. That doesn't seem like a very fair evaluation either. And it doesn't feel like an evaluation that the Browns are going to be dying to make. So unless your leash is there, though, where do I go with the rookies? How do I get to a place where I evaluate rookie quarterbacks and I can do it if it's beyond four games and it even goes to six? And you go six total games, you have 11 to evaluate two rookies, five in six games. And that's assuming that one of them allows you to evaluate the other and doesn't play well enough to not be benched. I'd rather you have the full slate. I'd rather you go out there and give me the full potential to evaluate what I need to evaluate and see who I have. So I don't think that my depth chart is going to align at all, though, with what the Browns want to do, because they're not going to follow the things that I think need to be done. They're going to operate like an NFL franchise, which at times is going to back yourself into a corner and not get the evaluation needed. And they're going to prioritize trying to get fans into seats. And what do fans want to see to start the year? Well, it's either a rookie quarterback, but they're going to react quickly in Cleveland, or it'll be, well, at least let me see somebody who's going to maybe put up a win. Browns start 0-4. Entertainment on the season starts to go way down. And I think the Haslams, as well as everybody in that building, know that that's the case. 216-474-0092. Do you think the Browns depth chart matches a depth chart that you'd be wanting to build? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, VULI and EC Jake. We'll react to what you guys have to say coming up here in about 5 minutes as well. We'll get to the most pressing clip said by our station's guest today with the station buzz. It's overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys here until 11 on The Fan. I do want to get to the most pressing.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90. In stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Things said by our station's guests today, so why don't we kick it off and do it with the station buzz. All right, let's start things off here with Zach Jackson of The Athletic on This Morning with Ken and Anthony, and they asked him whether or not the Browns were going to be able to handle the media frenzy that surrounds Shedeur Sanders.
Can they handle the Shedeur Sanders situation from the outside looking in?
I think they can. If Shador's going to make it here, let alone be the quarterback, then he's going to have to handle the part of being last in line and of mastering the offense and being ready. Most of his chances are going to be waiting for like 90 minutes or more to get 3 reps. That's what it's going to be. So he's going to have to be ready to handle every other part of it from the individual drills on.
Yeah, I have my concerns with the Browns right now and being able to actually go through and navigate the media that comes alongside of it. The reps thing is definitely a problem, though. Like the 90 minutes in between reps that Zach's talking about there, it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be difficult to keep the outside noise on the outside and maintain the walls to actually stopping all this from infiltrating the locker room and impacting the players. We talked about it yesterday with Dylan Gabriel already becoming slightly annoyed with questions surrounding Shedeur Sanders and the battle in camp and everything else. And we heard it with Harold Fannin. It was like, Shedeur can, it's good for him that he has the media, whatever. I just think that a lot more of this honestly becomes an issue when Shedeur isn't on the field. Inevitably, when I think the Browns go through and name a starter for week one that isn't Shedeur Sanders, I think some of the hype only starts to intensify unless the Browns are finding success, which I don't expect them to. I expect the Browns to be quite in the opposite direction, not finding success, starting off the season probably relatively slow, and probably not winning a ton of games this year, as would be the expectation from just about everybody. That's going to make it a whole lot more difficult to maintain Shedeur not playing football games and the national media not growing louder and louder and louder. And the Browns are going to have to find a way to quiet it because you can't cave. If Shador's not ready to play and your assessment of Shedeur is he's not ready to go yet, And that has to come at some point this year. He has to be ready to go. But until that moment comes, you have to find a way to keep that noise out and not cave into the public pressure of playing Shedeur Sanders, because that feels like the number one easiest way to be able to lose a locker room. And there's guys you can lose in this locker room. There's still Myles Garrett. We don't know where he's at. You don't want to lose Jerry Jeudy. I mean, the slim chance to get Joel Bitonio to come back for another season after this year would ride on that fact. I don't even know that that's possible. But if it is, it's going to be by keeping him happy. You just have to find a way and navigate actually being able to get that done. And I'm going to sit here and continue to wait and probably not believe to see it happen until the Browns actually make it happen. I've seen too many times them cave to the pressure, but you have to find a way to go and actually block it out. Let's talk a little more quarterback with Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with Baskin and Phelps today. And she talked about the distribution of the reps in the room.
They have a very, very good plan of how they are going to break this down. Now, the one player who probably needs fewer reps than the others is Joe Flacco. So if you necessarily see Joe Flacco going third or fourth, it might not be because that's how they are ranking him or where they view him. It might just be because you know that you have to get those other three guys more reps to assimilate into this scheme and to get some chemistry down with these particular receivers.
Yeah, I don't know that I fully agree with the entirety of Mary Kay's point, only because I expect Joe to get less of reps because he knows this system and on that point. But when it comes to establishing a connection with the wide receivers, who does Joe have a connection with on this team outside of, you know, the 2023 season? Every guy that he had a connection with, pretty much not here. Amari Cooper was the one that obviously he found it big with. Elijah Moore is the guy that he also played in New York with and then played here in Cleveland. He's gone. He's in Buffalo. Who else? Who else does he have a legitimate connection to? Like, maybe some camp reps and some practice reps with a guy like Cedric Tillman. But everybody else, the receivers that actually matter are going to be Tillman, which I imagine the reps are limited, and Jerry Jeudy, who he has no reps with at all. I think Joe needs him just as bad as anybody else does. And if you're not seeing Joe get reps, at least early on, while everyone's learning the scheme and the system, it makes some sense. But as you get deeper into the offseason, if Joe's a real option, he also has to start to see those reps. Because if you're going to play him, at least let him have the connection with the receivers in the room. Don't just negate and neglect Joe Flacco because he's been here, he's done that, he's a veteran quarterback. If you're actually going to play him, then I hope that you give him the fair opportunities and the reps that everybody else needs to see. Because if not, I don't know that I trust my 4-year-old quarterback to basically come off cold of no training camp and no practice with a brand new wide receiver group. He did it in Cleveland the first time. Not going to really bank on him being able to do it a second time. More Browns with Albert Breer of the MMQB with Afternoon Drive today, as he is every Tuesday at 5:20. And the trio talked about bringing back Nick Chubb and where he's at in his career. And it might not be as pretty for the play on the field.
I mean, I think he's more name than game right now. The amount of injuries that he's had to come back from, everything that he's dealt with, his place in Browns history is secure for a reason. I mean, he averaged 3.3 yards a carry. I mean, you guys saw it. You know what I mean? Like, he's just not the player he was.
I love that somebody outside the Cleveland media is helping portray this picture, because I've tried to point it out, and some of the only response that I get back is usually, I mean, guys, it's Nick Chubb. He's 2 years removed from the injury. He's going to be better, right? It's not often that we see a ton of running backs need a year to gear back up. And I'm not saying that's not the case for Nick, but I think we should be expecting a clear drop-off in the play of Nick Chubb. I think you see that by the fact that nobody's been eager to rush out and sign him this offseason, and he's not currently in a building with another team. There's something lost after not only one, but two massive injuries like that. He's probably not going to have the same explosiveness. He's not going to be able to cut the same way. I'm not saying Nick Chubb's a washed-up, no-good running back. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. But he's not the Nick Chubb that we watched play here for so many years. So when Albert goes through and says he's more name than game, Yeah, I tend to agree. You might still get decent Nick Chubb, but you're not getting the 2018 Nick Chubb, the 2019, 2020. 2018 was probably unfair. I think that was the year he was drafted and he didn't play very much. But if you go and you talk about the years after, like, yeah, a prime Nick Chubb is not coming back. And even the Browns brought him back. It's the same idea as last year. You're not banking on him to be the running back that he was, but he means a lot to the city, so we'll put him in a Browns uniform. I just don't like operating on a team that's not ready to compete in that exact way. Why bring him back? It'd be for the love of the fan to know that they have Nick Chubb in the building, but there comes a time where naturally you need to move off of guys, and the star players of once can't always ride out into the sunset with the team they played with for the entire beginning of their career. Hate to say that it's true, but that's the point you're at with Nick Chubb, and it's going to be okay. It's not your fault, Cleveland. It's not your fault. All right, a little bit of Cavs in action right now over on TNT, where the game's being called by Spiro Dedes, who sat down with Ken and Anthony this morning and talked about where some of the Cavs' struggles maybe have come in a series against the Pacers.
As amazing as Donovan has been in this series, it's become something where it's almost too much Donovan. I just think the offense has gotten a little too Donovan heavy at times, and it's taken away a little bit from what made this team great. And so to see him now, his body give out now for a second straight year at this time of year, I think tells us a little bit about the burden that Donovan has had on his shoulders. And it's unnatural. You know, I don't think it's healthy for him. I don't think it's healthy for the team. And, you know, just like everyone here, we're just hoping that he can play and he can give this team something tonight.
Well, of course, we know Donovan Mitchell go for tonight's game. I don't know that I can put it on the weight that was riding on Donovan's shoulders and how much he was having to carry, and that being the thing that's led him to injury. Because we've seen him do that in Utah for the entirety of seasons. Forget about the postseason in the playoffs. He's had to do that for season-long stretches on the Jazz. He had to do that for season-long stretches on the Cavs practically the last couple of years before this year, where Donovan finally takes a back seat. And then, yes, is it unnatural to this season that Donovan's doing it? Sure, but it's not unnatural to every other season. And maybe they're riding him a little bit more heavily than a team in the past, like even the Cavs from last year had to rely on him in this series. But Donovan knows the kind of weight that comes with it. He knows the pressure that's on his shoulders, and he's dealt with that before. Donovan's not hurt because of that. Donovan's hurt because, well, sometimes you play a lot of minutes. Sometimes you play really aggressive basketball, and that leads to injuries. Nobody's pointing at Jason Tatum right now saying, too much weight on the shoulders, and of course you went through and tore your Achilles. No, of course not. No, they're saying Jason Tatum had a freak injury, and his Achilles snapped on him in the middle of a basketball game. It's the same thing for Donovan on a lesser injury scale. Would I like them to tone it back and be able to go to what you did earlier on in the season? Sure. But when nobody else is stepping up and making shots, somebody's got to do it. And Donovan knows that's him. It's just the guy willing to go out and do it. All right. That'll do it for the station, boys. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, going to share with us his thoughts on a quarterback battle between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders early on in this offseason, where the Browns go next, the way different rooms are shaping up, and everything else. It's coming your way here at 8 o'clock on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.